Welcome once again to the Irish in Sweden podcast. It's St. Patrick's Day, and Hyde is about to back over somebody. We're going to go through the tents, we're going to through the companies, we're going to go through and talk to absolutely everybody we can find around here, because it's that time of the year. Let's roll. Right, while we're doing this, she's looking like the busiest woman in the world. Michelle Cotter, what are you doing?
Oh, God. I actually don't know. We're running on fumes at the moment. But,
has it been a difficult day to get all this together, has it?
Honestly, no. We've got a really rock-solid committee for the Stockholm Gaels this year, which is fantastic. So everybody's been pulling their part.
You just change your mind about everything at the last minute and we've had to recast everything. Is that what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just on a whim. You know, if the wind changes, so does my mind. But the Swedish-Irish Society, to be fair to them, have... you know, done a great job with organising and kind of guiding us through what we need to do and when and where we should be. So we'll have a bunch of the club members will be stewards. Some of us will be marching with this lovely banner in the background. And then we'll be helping with some kids' games and some target practice.
Fantastic.
And hopefully some fundraising.
I'd hope so. So we have a raffle going on here. Heidi, you might come over here and have a quick look at this. So this is basically all the Irish delicacies you can imagine. There's Barry's tea, there's Tato, there's Tusht there, there's a dairy milk, caramel nibbles and all sorts of things. Now, is this really the diet of a Gaelic football / camogie / hurling champion we're looking at here?
No, it's actually far unhealthier. So this would be the healthy version, you know, trying to go eco and go green. A few bits from home, you know, we've got a Guinness Easter egg and a Bailey's Easter egg, some potatoes that have been squashed to death in my bag coming back.
Lovely.
What we're trying to do is raise funds, but also raise awareness so that people know that there are Gaelic sports available in the city if they want to participate, join in.
Are you actually hoping to get members today? Sort of curious people going, oh, I didn't know this kind of thing happened at all.
Do you know what? It's kind of that drip feed effect, right? They'll come and they'll meet us and they'll see how friendly we are. They'll follow us on social media and through that we post regularly on our stories on Instagram and we've got events going on. So eventually they'll be tempted enough to turn up, make friends, and then once they're friends, they're in.
Once we get our
hooks into friendship and that community element, we can drag them down to Scarf next to kick a ball.
Now do we have you actually? Is it the first weekend of June we're going to have one of the biggest tournaments we've ever had here?
Correct, and right, yeah, it's going to be if I'm not mistaken, it's at least the first mixed hurling and camogie tournament in Sweden.
Yep.
I don't believe one has happened in Finland or Norway either, but don't quote me on it.
Well, certainly not on the scale that you're doing it at the European level. How many teams do you think is going to be coming over here to Stockholm?
God, this is the question of the hour. We've got our info pack going out to all clubs on the 1st of April, on April Fool's Day. And I'm hoping we get around 150 players travelling over, men, women, hurlers, camogues. It's hard to tell with the number of clubs that we'll have because, for example, Cologne are sending two people. We said, we'll sort a team for you if you just send some bodies.
But we count that as a club anyway. Even if they send one person, that's
exactly,
enough to go.
So we should have a good few. I'd say maybe upwards of 15 clubs will be represented and... I'm asking everybody to bring their club flags and then we'll supply the 32 county flags at the pitches on the day as well.
Fantastic. How hard is it to organise that for you who's just sort of come into the committee of the Stockholm Gaels?
I love it. I can't complain about it because I wouldn't have it any other way. What I love is doing things that are a little bit outside of the ordinary, a bit unusual. So we're going to have a music element, we're going to integrate kids and some kids' games and other community groups as well will all be very welcome. And believe it or not, we have some musicians in our midst. So on the committee and affiliated kind of members, we've got two DJs that are going to do a bit of a DJ set for the afters of the tournament. So
amazing.
Festival vibes from 8 p.m. onwards.
And this is happening. Is it happening in Skarpnäck this year?
It's Skarpnäck is where the match play will be on, and then we've partnered with the Generator Hostel for accommodation, and then they have an event space called Hilma as part of the Generator, who are doing us a great deal for feeding everybody, and they said they'll do a special Stockholm Gaels cocktail for the day, and they're
tremendous.
Yeah, they're, you know, just things that are a little bit unusual, get people talking and kind of add that extra element, a bit of spice.
Brilliant. We will check back in with you, but for now, Michelle,
Please
thanks
do.
Very much.
No problem at all.
Are we recording away? There we are. Hi there. There's a little bit of yellow and black there, but it's not the Stockholm Gaels. This time it's the Stockholm Exiles, don't it?
You're right. This is Stockholm Exiles. This year we're celebrating our 60 years.
Okay.
And in my team alone, under 16s, we have 8 Irish boys, and their fathers are the Irish community, but all the boys are playing rugby for me down in Exiles Rugby.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant. We're delighted to be here today, and our goal is to get more young players in, to get boys and girls. because the girls sometimes are way, way better than the boys. And they listen to what you have to say.
Easier to deal with.
Easier to deal with all the girls. But no, that's it. This is our first year here. And outside there, then we have a skills outside there now today to show the young people how actually safe rugby is.
Yeah.
People have this perception that rugby is very, very dangerous. And the thing is, if we're trained properly and shown how to do it right, you won't get injured.
There's no need to worry. But the Swedish people are looking at it, they think it's just savagery.
Oh, they do. But they say that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Because the people who understand rugby are the Irish and Swedish, the Irish community themselves.
Yeah.
And I had a lady from Liverpool up there a while ago, and she wanted to know, she took a leaflet.
Yeah.
And we have barcodes, and she took a leaflet and everything to get her young grandchildren playing rugby.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I think this might be one of Carl Stein's young
fellas. That's right, yeah.
Take the good looking boys and put them on the front.
Yeah, so we have to do our best, like keep the Irish boys in the front front and centre.
Wonder about at that age, Donald, how many days a week would they be training with you and playing matches and that kind of thing?
Well, we started there now about a month ago on Consgrass down in Gubbigan.
Yeah.
And coming in now, because the Stockholm Style won't allow us until May, we'll be bringing it up to two sessions now next week, and then after that, it'll be three sessions, then coming into April.
Yeah.
And we'll have our first game in the second week in May.
Yeah.
And we'll be playing against our local rivals, Tabby.
Oh, very good.
And they're always great games. And there's great Irish people out there in Tabby too.
There is indeed,
fantastic, and they do a great job for that club. So it's just like at home, like the neighbours.
A bit of a derby match.
It is, like, we enjoy ourselves, like, but it is all a bit of fun at the end of the day. And getting the young people out to train. I even see that, I know, with even with my own young fella, when he was shown how to fall properly, I saw him falling off a bike one time, and he was able to roll away.
Yeah.
Because that's what he was taught to do.
Exactly what he's playing
rugby. And, you know, he got up and he went digging. And also, too, for the kids that actually go to school. Mm. Now, of course, like, Sweden is a fantastic country, but they always have ice hockey, soccer, basketball, and all this.
In the bandy, all this kind of crap.
But when they buy and the girls talk about rugby, the teacher is more interested. And they want to know all about rugby. And that young boy and that young girl inside the class is standing tall.
Yep.
And they can have the story about where they're from, Ireland or England or Scotland or Wales or France. This year I have six different nationalities in my team this year.
Wow.
And we have a very, very good system on showing how to train. We post videos every week just because you have learning difficulties and you have language difficulties.
Yeah.
And I have a great Kerry accent as well, like, so I need to be able to...
You need the subtitles on those videos.
Well, but you see, the videos are all off, they're all done by professional coaches and professional people.
Yeah.
And when you show that to the players and then they're showing that to the parents, they know they're being taken care of.
It's a much more serious kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, let us know when that game is happening against Tabby. It'll be a good excuse to get out for this.
Great. Thank you very much,
Phil. Good to see you.
Thank you for all the work you're doing.
Not at
Thank
all.
You.
Thank you. So here to translate what Donald just said is Carl Stein from Thirst. Carl, we spoke as recently as yesterday. Loving the glasses. No wig this week.
No, I have the Thirst branded hat instead.
All right, so we could get a Thirst branded wig. What do you expect for today? This is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, isn't it?
Unbelievable. I mean, the work that the team have put in, the Swedish Irish Society and everybody else that's involved, I know they've got bigger and better sponsors this year, and it's just
bigger and better sponsors than you, surely.
And we just turn up and give away a few bottles of Thirst, so we're not official sponsors, really.
We're
super happy to be here.
Like those old women who used to be outside Croke Park with the pram and all the chocolate on the kind of thing? You're just surfing in on everybody else's success. Yeah?
Rotten paper, 5 for 50.
Exactly, it's down the back here somewhere. What do you expect now today? Because would most of the people who are going to be here, would they have heard of you and what you do and the drinks that you make?
Now that we're on the market 3 years now, so we are finding that a lot more people have seen us, and they're coming up and they're wanting to buy directly here. Already, we're only here 10 minutes, and already people are wanting to buy directly. Have you heard of Thirst? I want to give them the spiel. They're like, I love Thirst, so that's great.
So we're
starting to get recognised a little more, which is great. We're in a lot of good cafes and restaurants and bars. So if people are out and about, they probably have seen us. They mightn't know about the Irish link, which they'll find out now. So
if the glasses don't give that away, nothing will, you know. How hard is it? Like, I mean, this is a business, as you say, you've been in business for 3 years. A lot of the time you can be in business not making any money. I mean, is it at the point now where you can say you can breathe out a little bit more every time you go to brew a load of raspberry soda or that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, the way our strategy really was to sort of try to make a little, at least not go back. Whereas a lot of startups, they don't mind going back a few million here or there, which we've never been
in that position.
No, not in that position. So luckily, the last couple of years we've been okay. Last year was a little flat, but it's a tough time for the organic food and beverage sector. People are, when they're watching their money, they sort of, you know, they can choose other products, even though they know they're not as good, not as healthy, not when it comes to meat or drinks. But we didn't grow massively last year, but we didn't lose any money, which is the main thing. And
survived
this year,
winning.
But this year we're off to an amazing start. So I think people have just come to accept the fact that prices are as they are now, and you can't stay in the rest of your life. So I think people are out again. Interest rates hopefully not going up anymore, and there's a bit more positivity this year, certainly, than there was last year. Museums are a big customer of ours. We're in all the big museums, Vasa Museum, Nationaal Museum, and their figures are up. Their visitor numbers are up, and their spend in the restaurants and cafes are up. So positive news.
Brilliant. Yeah. One last question, right? Because we have the various state agencies are going to be talking to someone today, Enterprise Ireland, Bord Bia, but you're not really covered by them, right? As an Irish-owned business, it's not the same as a business from Ireland.
Yeah.
Do you get any help, any support, any networking from them?
In the last 6 months or so, I reached out, and I'm absolutely amazed how much help they're willing to offer. Because I thought, a little bit like you've mentioned, I thought, I'm not really, you know, it's about business coming this way. It's not really, but absolutely not. They're massive. The Irish Chamber of Commerce, a load of help. The new ambassador, Barbara Jones, made a call to me, offered all sorts of help. Wonderful lady, wonderful team there. And yeah, I'd recommend any Irish entrepreneurs over here, contact them. Contact the Irish Chamber of Commerce, contact the embassy. There is help there.
I'm going to have to put a disclaimer on YouTube after that. But for now, Carl, thanks very much.
Cheers.
Have a
great day.
Enjoy your day. Cheers.
Thank you.
Right. And the Swedish people, they think they know about this Fika crack. Mark from Sponge Cookies will tell us all about it. Mark, what have you got for us here today?
Well, we got a selection of cookies we baked this morning. So we got white chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate chip with sea salt, two types of sprinkle cookies, some small passion fruit and white chocolate tarts, some gluten-free and vegan selection.
And some very green ones here for St. Patrick's Day as well.
Of course, yeah. This is rude not to.
These are magnificent things all the same. How has the reception been so far? They're only really getting going here this morning, but there's a good few people.
Yeah, it's good. We saw with the rain and stuff, but, you know, we love the rain, don't we?
But
no, it's good. We're good. We should sell out.
You're right,
we hope to, because I don't want to eat anymore.
After all these years of eating cookies.
Oh, my God, yeah, I can test a couple, so, yeah.
You have your new shop, well, it's not new now, but you've been down on Sada for the last little while. How's it going for you down there?
Good, good, settling in.
Yeah.
You know, good to be in the area, the people are being really open. I think we've had to prove ourselves.
Have you, yeah?
Yeah, they're open 7 days a week, so it's good. Yeah. You know, it's good. We're settling in.
I always thought that was the kind of place that would suit you with your brand, you know? Do you feel like
you're
there?
Yeah, we do. And someone actually said, it's the type of... What did she say again? She said something like, this is exactly, you know, the area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, our style. So, it's good.
And is there a lot of people coming in? Can people order your stuff online and that kind
can
of
can order online, yeah? Order through the website or the Instagram as well, spongecookies.com.
Yeah, so, yeah. At spongecookies on Instagram.
Yep. Yeah. That's it.
What's next? Are you going to be in any of the Ica's, the Consum's, any of that kind of
thing? No. We keep it fresh and we keep it small. We keep it personal, and that's what we're all about. I don't want another shop. I just want the one shop, and we bake fresh. We have a great rapport with the locals. Anybody that comes in, so that's what we're going to stick at.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Great to see you again.
You
I hope
too.
You send out
pleasure.
No time, and you'll be up in the Dublin or down in Beers.
Yeah. Happy Patrick's Day.
And the same to you.
See you.
Right, now we're into the important part of things, right? I'm here with Kim Sjölund from the Irish Chamber of Commerce in Sweden, who also is behind the White Clover collection, which everything presumably here for sale today,
That's
Kim?
That's right, Phil.
Have they been queuing up to buy it off you?
Of course.
It's brilliant to see these lovely designs. These are designed in Sweden,
yes.
Woven in Ireland, brought over here. How
yes.
has business been over the last little while?
It's been pretty good, actually. And we have customers who keep coming back.
We like them, don't we?
So this is a good sign for us because we know that they are pleased with their product when they get it home.
Yeah.
So we're very happy about that.
You have a little sort of a showroom out on the south side of town as well, don't
I
you?
I do. I have a showroom on Värmdövägen out in Nacka.
Lovely.
So you're very welcome. And White Clover Collection, we're on Instagram.
Yeah.
Facebook.
When you section it all up, how much is sold in the shop? How much is sold online? How much is from Instagram? Where does your business come from?
Mostly online or at sort of activities like this.
Yeah.
Markets and crafts, fairs and things like that. That's where we would probably sell most.
That's me out
but
there.
Online.
Online is
that's
the
place to go. That's always lots of campaigns going on there.
That's where everything is. Let me ask you, you were at the Irish Chamber of Commerce, the St. Patrick's Day lunch.
I was.
Lunch yesterday. Nobody wants to hear me talk about it. Tell me about it. What did you think of it? Did you enjoy it?
It was a fantastic gathering, Phil, of the Irish community in Stockholm. We had our patron, the ambassador, Barbara Jones, who came and did a magnificent speech about just St. Patrick and his history and his story. And it was a heartwarming event, actually, to see all the Irish community get together, mingle, have a chat, and think about the fact that we're 7 million Irish people on the island of Ireland, but we are 70 million Irish people all around the globe who call Ireland home.
There you go. And it's like, it is an incredible story all the time.
Isn't it?
And it makes that St. Patrick's Day celebration such a global thing, you know?
Oh, yes.
And another great way to spread it, of course, is through the White Clover Collection. I see your competitors here behind you.
Indeed.
So I'm going to grab this microphone here and we're going to go over and we're going to talk to Carrie Cook.
Okay.
And Carrie's now going to say lovely things about Kim's collection and vice versa, because she said lovely things about yours. How are you, sweetie? Are you well?
I'm very well.
I'm going to stick this on you here and then we're going to chat for a second. And at the end of it, you're going to be embarrassed and we're probably still not going to take it out anyway.
I know you, Bill. Just leave it all in.
How are things going here this morning?
Good. I mean, there's quite a good crowd here already.
Yeah, and we're only getting started and just the music is only getting going there, you know. So, your collection here, this is the one that we looked at when we were at Free Dance Blonde just before Christmas and that, isn't it?
Little bit of a combo of things here.
So
I've
is there new stuff in there as well, is there?
I'm not sure if you saw my...
I'm just going to hold this so we go ahead.
I've got my plant dyed cushions and then some other cushions from a previous collection.
Yep.
And then I also have my linen tea towels.
These proved very popular online before Christmas, didn't they?
They were nice, yeah. I've only got a handful left, so hurry up if you want some today.
What's the next collection going to look like? Have you plans for the new? You mentioned that we're almost at the end of these things. Will you go back and make more of them?
If people want them, I will absolutely have some more made for me. But I'm also working on some wall hangings at the moment, which will be at the Arrivals exhibition, which is coming up in April.
This is how you do it. This is how the pros do it, right? Because this is my next question.
Nice segue.
Lovely. Yeah. The Arrivals exhibition is taking place in the Ambassador's Residence. Is it the 15th of April?
No, it's not. It's the 18th of April.
The 18th of April. My brother's birthday. I should have been able to remember that. You're still accepting submissions for this, right?
We are. We've got a couple of spots left.
Give us the pitch.
We are putting together, myself and Sarah Galligan, who you probably know very well, we're putting together an exhibition which is for Irish creatives living in Sweden. And the theme is arrivals, so talking about being in this place right now, how you came to be here, what stage you are in your life and your creativity. And we would just love for people to submit artwork, and we'd also love for people to come. So if you want a ticket to it, you send a little email to eventstockholm@dfa.ie and we'll send you a ticket.
It's going to be brilliant. We did have the ladies on the podcast reasonably recently to talk about that, and we're going to have them on again. But Carrie, for the time being, thanks very much. What have we got over here now? Because Serena Scully appears to be standing here.
Hello.
Hello, Serena. My name is Philip O'Connor. We have an Irish in Sweden podcast and now we're going to have you on it.
Wow. That's
what have you got for us here today?
We have some old Irish coin prints. So they're printed with metallic foil on a silk paper, and they're a really nice throwback to our old original coins that we had pre-Euro.
Indeed. So, I was looking at a few of them there. There's florins and all sorts of things that were up there. They're brilliant altogether. Oh, my God. Right. I'm going to have to find out a way to buy all these things off you before we go. How long have you been in Sweden?
I've been here 5 years, so my Swedish is awful for the amount of time I've been here, to be honest.
Glad we got that out of the way.
Yeah.
Which are, when you're working with Irish coins, you probably don't need a whole lot of Swedish.
Exactly, yeah. No, we don't. Yeah.
What was it that led you to making this collection?
Honestly, we moved here just before the pandemic. Yeah. And when I got here, it was just a bit homesick because we weren't able to go back and forth as much as we wanted to.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to do a very Irish kind of collection just for my own sake, to kind of be able to touch back on a little bit of home.
Reconnect really.
A little bit of reconnecting. So
how has it gone for you?
It's gone really well. These are kind of the tail end of this collection now. Also kind of similar to Kerry, ready to get moving on to something else now. But
there seems to be a lot of people, yourself, Kerry, Kim, who are getting involved in this thing, like textiles. I know Sarah Galligan is also involved in recycling and repurposing stuff.
Yeah.
Does everybody get together or do you sort of compete with one another?
Honestly, this is my first time being here. So the girls have been really great kind of show me the ropes here today, so it's been really nice, my first experience here at the event, so I'm kind of learning the ropes from them and seeing how it all goes, yeah.
It's a good bit of crack, all right. Well, you're very welcome along for the first time. Hopefully it won't be the last time. And indeed, we'll be back to you to have you for a little bit longer in the Irish and Sweden podcast. But for now, Serena, thanks very much for
thanks
talking to us.
Thanks, thank
you.
Nice,
you too.
Pictures and sound.
Oh, yes. Wow. This year we're going sound and vision for Martin Hessians from Beerstrom's Pub.
There you go.
Here we're serving Guinness. And is it Staropramen or is that just a lie on the taps?
It's the Staropramen.
Well, it's a Staropramen as well. And I believe Ivan Keane's beers are on sale here as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
How are they going? Are they providing competition for you?
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment.
On the side, yeah, to have some other beers. So it's all good.
It's all good. How's it been here today? Very busy?
Very busy. Busier than last year.
It is it?
Yeah, it feels like that, yeah.
And you still have Guinness Zero on the go here as well, yeah?
Yes, full time.
My God almighty. Around how many pints do you expect to sell here today, would you say?
I think...
As many as I can.
18 kegs, and there's 30 litres in each keg, so do the maths.
I can't do the maths.
I can't do the maths either.
I'll count the money for you, but I certainly can't do the maths, you know. And Beerstrom's Pub this weekend, you managed to sneak out for a few hours, but you've been open the whole weekend, basically.
Yeah, yeah. We're busy. So it's the rugby later on, and then tomorrow's Paddy. So it's, yeah.
How do we make this bigger and better next year, Martin?
I don't know if you want to make it bigger and better next year. I think it's great as it is. So it's fantastic to see the turnout that we have.
If we can just survive this one, we'll be grand, won't we?
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Sure.
Thanks as always for your support for the parade and indeed for the Irish community. Good man, Martin.
Cheers, man.
Greg, call the tall eye and have a grave on showing you.
Well, Nishta Bowerdan, I guess someone's like, big nach deal to mach, ach, wie man zu kein Gleige, wie man zu kein Fing Gleige, agus wie man zu tort na Milchon, agus na Stickeri, agus na Tatoma, a mach. Ja, so da ich sche gemalien.
Milchon agus Stickeri, how popular has it been today with the young people of Sweden who've maybe never seen this before?
Oh, extremely popular. Just, you have candy, the children come. That sounds a lot creepier than I mentioned.
But can you teach them the Kupla Fuckel though when you have them here kind of thing? Do you get them and engage with them?
Some of them are a little bit shy, but I've had a couple of people just Dierlitz, Dies Merlitz, Ismische.
Yep.
You know, the simple things like that, so...
You've been involved in the Irish language now in this country for quite some time. How have you seen it develop now? Because there's been certain people like yourself, like Max here, like Noel, who's been here before. Are you seeing more and more people getting involved in the Irish language here?
Seen a lot more interest, yeah, especially through things like music. And so you're getting a lot of people who just get interested in the language because they hear songs in Irish, they want to learn a song in Irish, they get really, really curious about it. Seeing a lot of interest in it through Uppsala University as well, because we offer these courses online, which bring in people from kind of all over the country. So seeing a lot of development in that respect as well. And yeah, just more people coming out since I started coming to these things. More people coming out to our group, Gleigorisa Tulman. So we meet more or less on every 2 weeks. It's a lot more chaotic than that in practice, but...
But that's still part of it. It's still organised by the Facebook group. People say, right, we're going to meet in this pub, usually in Gamla Stan here in Stockholm.
Yeah, it's usually either Vestrom's or O'Connell's. But we also meet occasionally in Uppsala as well, for those of us who are maybe a little bit further away from Stockholm. So in O'Neill's, used to be buddies.
Yeah.
We actually have a WhatsApp group as well. So there's a QR code for that here. If you want to come over to our table and scan it, if you want to just... find out what the crack is.
Excellent. We will definitely get that, and we'll be putting that out there on the Instagram for the Irish and Sweden podcast as well. You mentioned the online courses that you have there as well. Is that something, because often the question I get is, where do I start? Okay, you know.
Yeah.
So is that a place for people to start with the online courses, or should they just turn up Cordall, Squealgals, O'Connell's?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a bit of Irish from school or whatever, or what have you, then I'd say show up to the chats, and you'd be surprised what comes up once you actually start talking. But yeah, the Irish language courses at Uppsala, they start for absolute beginners, because a lot of our students are also Swedish, and if you're Swedish, grew up in Sweden, you probably wouldn't have had Irish in school.
So, very unlikely.
Very unlikely, yeah. So it is absolutely meant for like complete beginners, tabula rasa, ab initio. Mm-hmm. First lesson is...
Where do those people come from? The non-Irish students that you would have, which I'd imagine is the vast majority in Uppsala University, where do they come from? Where do they develop the interest in the language?
Yeah, a lot of them are just from Sweden, from Uppland, or from further afield, who come down to Uppsala to study. And in a lot of cases, like, really, really common for them to be interested in Irish, because either they're just interested in languages in general. One of my students is doing a lot with Finnish and Sami, and he just likes kind of weird languages, so Irish is one of the more obvious
definitely
ones as
qualifies.
Well. Yeah. But you also get a lot of people who, like I said, music is one of the big things. A lot of my students have been musicians as well, and they've just been interested in traditional music and encountered the language through that, and that's kind of the gateway drug. They hear Dulamon one time, and They're hooked.
I was just thinking, this time last year we had a film at the Oscars on Colleen Kuhn, The Quiet Girl. Yeah. Did that make a difference? Do you see an upswing when you have cultural events like that?
I think so. I think Irish has definitely been enjoying a lot more of a sort of... people have been a lot more aware of it through things like that. So on Colleen Kuhn, and then of course this year's Oscars, an Irish-speaking actor, Cillian Murphy, wins Best Actor and says a bit of Irish in his
acceptance speech. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, people are definitely a lot more aware that this is not just, you know, this is a language which people speak. It's not just a dead language. It's not just a school subject. It's something living, something vital, you know?
Where do people go to find your online courses if they want to get stuck into Irish?
Yeah, you just... Honestly, just Google Uppsala Celtic, and that'll take you to the page, or Uppsala Irish, and you can register them through, I think it's on Tognin.ic, but
yes.
Yeah, it's the standard thing for registering in university courses in Sweden. And of course, if you're an EU national, they're free of charge, so
brilliant.
Anyone with an Irish or Swedish passport.
And there's a WhatsApp group as well for anybody who's interested in learning Irish in Sweden.
Exactly.
This is why I love the parade. Thanks very much indeed, Greg. Good to meet you, Margaret.
Lots of those.
This is one of those incidents where you have to grab people while we can. Carmel,
absolutely.
We're just getting ready for the big moment now. The parade's about to kick off. How has the day been so far?
It's been absolutely fantastic. I mean, this is just beyond our expectations, absolutely. The weather is as we expected, but no rain. So
yeah, it looks like somebody's pulled the curtains, but at least it's not raining yet.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the associated, or what let's say, the companies down there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's our extra for this year, and it's going so well. They're all delighted to be here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They've got a thing going.
So we have some great community organisations. We also have St. Patrick there. We might bring him into the picture as well. St. Patrick, lovely of you to make it here again to Sweden.
Oh, well, I love the Stockholm Parade. It's the best one of them all.
By far. You've been doing this a long time now, St. Patrick. How have you seen this parade grow and develop in recent years?
Well, I've seen it start with a couple of dogs and about two boys over in the park over there about 20 years ago. And just look around you now, huh? All thanks to the Swedish-Irish Society putting it all together.
And Carmel at the helm. He's just about to lead us off around
absolutely.
The town now.
Absolutely. Unless we can find, you know, as well, just St. Patrick will definitely be back next year.
I have an idea. Maybe we can start it here and end it up in Yavla next year.
Absolutely, that's an idea. That's
now we're talking,
idea.
Yeah.
Thanks very much. Have a great day.
Thanks very much.
Okay, this is it. The last bit for today. The parade is about to get underway. The weather is absolutely terrible, but it's been an absolutely brilliant day here at the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Stockholm. We're going off to enjoy the rest of the festivities. We hope you've enjoyed some of these voices from the St. Patrick's Day Parade here in Stockholm. And we'll be back again next week with another episode of the Irish in Sweden podcast. Until then, take care of yourselves and take care of one another. Good luck.